This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Gramling. I'm joined by Connor Orr of the Weekside Podcast, and this is the legal tampering episode. And I don't know, Connor, are you going to legally tamper anything in these next couple of days?
I live my life on the razor's edge of legal tampering. So yeah, this is a good time for me. But it's a very NFL thing, right? Where much like blatant salary cap manipulation, it's always like, oh, we don't do that. But here's a specific window in which you could do it if you wanted to do it. And so, you know, that's where we are.
Well, I love the weekend news really got this off on the right foot here. And this, of course, is the Saints quarterback situation. Now, the straightforward thing is, as expected, Drew Brees has officially retired, so he can stop, monitoring that dude's Instagram for hints or whatever that was. But the Saints give Taysom Hill, I don't know, I mean, it's just completely made-up contract. It's like you or I coming on here this morning saying Sports Illustrated has just given us a 5-year extension for $80 billion. It is completely made-up money. 4 years, $140 million, I guess, is what they're calling it for Taysom Hill, and it is all voidable, which means it is completely imaginary. It is just literally monopoly money coming Taysom Hill's way on this, and I guess they did it as sort of a nod to the Russell Wilson contract, and I don't know, that's cute, I guess, or something. But when it comes right down to it, we have Taysom Hill. There are plenty of reports saying the Saints want to bring back Jameis Winston, and we have what might just be an all-out quarterback competition here in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting, and I think that you could function that way. I mean, Sean Payton went, 4-1 with Teddy Bridgewater? He won games with Taysom Hill last year as a traditional drop-back passer, and so I think that offense is good enough, and Sean Payton is creative enough to make this work. I think that the challenge is always going to be reigning in Jameis. If you can do that, if you can get the best out of him, and be able to ascertain some of that vertical element that you were not able to get from Drew Brees, I think all of a sudden you have something really interesting here and possibly a little bit more potent than what you had last year.
I would love to see a really aggressive platoon here at quarterback. And yeah. I'll say one thing about each guy here. I have no problem with Taysom Hill if they go with him as a starting quarterback. I know there's sort of an NFL Twitter thing about Taysom Hill because I think it was Bree Papingo was kind of like Taysom Hill is the rich man's Lamar Jackson or whatever it might be. Taysom Hill is similar to Lamar Jackson in that you can meld your run game and passing game in the way that you've seen the Ravens do. But I think Taysom Hill is fine as your starting quarterback. I think he's you can do some neat things with him. I think Sean Payton has sort of been, I don't know, eager to design one of these sort of new age offenses coming into the league at this point. As far as Jameis Winston goes, I'm still in the camp, and I know everyone's kind of assuming, kind of like they did last year, that Jameis would be the guy to step in for Brees. I'll kind of believe it when I see it. As for Jameis, though, I mean, look, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe that someone is actually going to make him their starting quarterback. I'm a guy who likes aggressive quarterbacking. I don't mind turnovers. I don't really mind too many turnovers. However, his brand of turnovers are just unacceptable. He ignores the second level of the defense. He does not see those robber safeties that come down. He just makes the same mistake over and over and over again. I wouldn't mind a scenario here where you say, okay, we're going to go with Taysom, we're going to mix in some Jameis, and if we fall behind by two touchdowns going into the fourth quarter, maybe we turn it over to Jameis full-time at that point as sort of the, the frantic YOLO, go-for-it-all sort of quarterback in that scenario. But I just have a really difficult time getting behind anyone going with Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback at this point.
It feels almost inevitable that he's the guy that the Bears have to settle for and have to pretend to say a lot of nice things about. Like the Saints are going to make a push to keep him, and then the Bears are going to give him like $80 million over 3 years, and they're going to be like, no, this is who we wanted all along. Seriously. And that'll be like a marriage destined to fail. But I agree. I think that in my wildest imagination, what you do is what Princeton does, and you have a quarterback from the 0 to the 20 and the 20 to the 0, and then another quarterback from the 20 to the 20. That's what they've done historically for the last couple years, given kind of the range of the athletes that they've gotten at the position. So they almost had like a Tebow from the 0 to the 20, the 20 to the 0, and then they had somebody else who could throw the ball from the 20 to the 20. That's maybe some idea of what you could do. I think Sean Payton is smart enough, and he has the leeway. What a lot of people don't understand is he spends all his time with the quarterbacks, right? There are coaches that are CEO kind of guys, and there are coaches who are, I'm designing this offense, and he's designing that offense, and he has the leeway to do it. He has the cachet to do it. He has the time to do it. And so you could come up with something like that if you're, a first-time head coach, if you're a guy who doesn't have that ability yet and you need to be spending more time developing relationships in the locker room and stuff like that, then you can't do that. But I think Sean Payton could do that. And I think that's what's going to be really interesting.
Now, that's a great point. I mean, he can get creative in a way that not everyone can in this league for risk of losing their jobs if it backfires.
Right. Like Matt LaFleur couldn't do that.
Yep.
Any of the guys that just got one of their jobs, they can't do that. Zach Taylor can't do that. He's got to work on making sure that everybody likes him, and that's a tough thing to do.
The other quarterback move here, Cam Newton back in New England after all. And I think this makes plenty of sense. I know there are still reports that they want to bring someone else in and have a quarterback competition here, or maybe even Cam becomes an underdog in a quarterback competition when it's all said and done in Foxborough. But I think it makes plenty of sense to bring him back. You get a full offseason here with him. You presumably upgrade the weapons at this point. And look, Cam struggled throwing the ball for a large portion of last year. I think he's just going to be that really streaky guy that, frankly, he's been for most of his career. as a passer, and you just live with that. And you can get the run game going, and you know, you can do a little bit more with the passing game here in New England.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been Belichick's, you know, when they were the team that was pacing the rest of the NFL with that up-tempo, no-huddle offense, like even before Chip Kelly was there, the one-word play calls, all that stuff, that was a snapshot in time. That was what he was taking advantage of the NFL as it was. I think Cam Newton, and I said this last year, and I know that I looked wrong, but I think that Cam Newton is a bridge to what he's going to do now, which is, you know, zagging when everybody else is zigging. Rosters are still really light. You know, we've been making that point for a couple of years now. It's light. It's speed oriented. You're going to spend a lot of time on your nickel and your dime packages. And Cam Newton is built to take advantage of that. He can bowl over defensive backs. And if he gets into the second level, he's just an absolutely demonic guy. You can't tackle him. You know, he's a disaster to try to bring down. And so I think that that's Belichick's way of kind of nudging his team into that area. You can play to his strengths, which is the defense, and do a lot of stuff that way. So I don't know. I think Cam still affords you a lot of opportunities in that way. And if you end up getting Jimmy Garoppolo, if you can get Jacoby Brissett back or something like that, I mean, like we said, I don't think that two quarterback offenses are going to be a thing that people are afraid of as much anymore. I think we're going to slowly start kind of dipping our toes into that water.
If we are looking at teams that still maybe need one quarterback at this point, certainly Washington and Chicago are in that camp. Put Denver, Carolina in there, perhaps. I think they have guys who they could sort of hold their nose and go with in 2021. Should it come to it, I'm crossing out some of the, you know, like I figure the Jets one way or another will get a quarterback. So the teams who really have a shot at these guys at the top of the draft, I'm not including here, but let's call it Washington, Chicago, Denver, Carolina. If you are assuming that Jameis re-signs with the Saints, that leaves Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton as Mitchell and Mitchell Trubisky as your top free agents here at quarterback. And that's, I don't know. I know how you feel about that at this point.
Not good. Yeah. I would be very nervous. And I think if I'm playing the long game here, if you're Ron Rivera, you probably have the cachet to draft at this point. You know, you have the people around you that you that are supporting you. You have the long-term sort of leeway here. You franchise Brandon Scherf so you can, you know, get a guy in there and assume that he'll be reasonably comfortable and protected. But I think a lot of these guys are going to end up having to settle for a drafted quarterback. You know, I think Chicago, it almost makes more sense because, you know, you're trying to survive. You're trying to get to another contract. If you're the coach and the GM, you're certainly embattled. You're going to get let go if you don't make the playoffs this year. But the other avenue here is to draft and to show some promise with a young rookie starter. You might be in a position to do something like that. And this is that weird draft where, you know, it almost reminds me of the Lamar Jackson draft where maybe you get talent at 30. You know, maybe there's a guy in there that is just misevaluated by a lot of people that you could plug in and would be able to play well. And it's not like the first 10 picks or first five picks are going to be quarterbacks, you know? So I think it's going to be an interesting scenario, but how different now the set of musical chairs is than when it started. Now all these teams are kind of like, what do we do?
I know. I guess the one positive thing, if you're Washington or Chicago, you're kind of saying, well, we didn't really have a guy last year, so can't get any worse.
Yeah. It's fine. You know, who loses this game of Mitchell Trubisky hot potato?
Oh, that's the worst kind of hot potato.
It is.
You mentioned Brandon Scherf. He has signed his franchise tender with Washington. We had some offensive line movement here over the weekend. The Bills end up bringing back Darrell Williams and John Feliciano. Taylor Moten, franchise tag tender with Carolina. And then Cam Robinson, obviously tagged by Jacksonville, unlikely to be going anywhere, even if he is not signed at the moment. But the most interesting thing is the Chiefs end up releasing both of their starting tackles. Eric Fisher, who ruptured his Achilles in the AFC title game, and Mitchell Schwartz, who battled a back injury all year, missed most of the season and had back surgery recently. It seems like it was kind of inevitable at this point. And now you have a Chiefs team who we saw in the Super Bowl, their Achilles heel was the fact that they couldn't block the Bucs. And now they are going into the offseason with no offensive tackles. And also Austin Reiter, their starting center, is hitting free agency and is unlikely to return.
Yeah, who saw that coming? You know, if you were a Chiefs fan and then you saw that those were the first two cuts that you made to make sense of the salary cap, you're like, wait, what? Excuse me? Certainly, maybe they're thinking about upgrading, or not upgrading, but getting younger and contractually a little bit safer in the draft on maybe one of those two. But I don't know what your end game is there. I think the blueprint on Mahomes has been sort of shaken out there. I mean, again, you're not going to get that level of pressure on the Chiefs every game, and they're going to be able to get the ball out quicker. You're not going to have a defense as good as the Bucs, most people. But if you're setting him up to get pressured to that degree throughout the season next year, I think that's a really scary thing. But again, you know, sometimes if you have a quarterback that's on a 10-year contract, these things have to happen, right? You have to break things down and you have to build things up, and you have to expect that, okay, maybe next year we're 9-7 or 10-6, and we're not, you know, 13-3 or 14-2, and we're going to lose a few games, but we're going to break in two offensive tackles that are going to take us the distance in 2 or 3 years. I don't know what the thought process is there. They're certainly built to win now, but that was a confusing one for me. I didn't quite understand, especially Mitchell Schwartz, who, and Eric Fisher. I mean, they both really did. Mitchell Schwartz was always good, and Eric Fisher really did come into his own, I think, in that spot.
Yeah, the Fisher one was surprising. I'm not shocked by Schwartz just because he was hurt all last year, and you kind of wonder if it's just sort of this is it. His body's breaking down. And look, the Chiefs know the medicals of these guys better than any of us. So, you know, the fact that they let them go is a bit of a red flag as far as what they think those guys are going to be able to do in 2021 here. I guess if you're going to really second guess the Chiefs at this point, you look back and, you know, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a wonderful player, but boy, he kind of wish he could have landed a developmental lineman, some sort of plan B with that 32nd pick of the 2020 draft, and that would sort of alleviate these concerns at this point. I will say, it's a pretty good offensive line class. I think it's one of the deepest and, frankly, therefore, best offensive line classes to come into the league as far as the draft goes in a couple of years here. So they might have some answers, but, boy, I mean, these are just big question marks for a team that we just sort of penciled in. I mean, if you said, like, in mid-January, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56, you'd say probably the Chiefs. And at this point now, you're kind of... you're just scratching your head a little bit.
That's a great point on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know what it is? It's like that galaxy brain GM moment, right? Where you win the Super Bowl, you build this incredible team, and then you say, like, I'm going to buck the trend and do exactly the opposite of what got me here because, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, Howie Roseman did that. You know, Brett Veach certainly did that, but you see that a lot with guys who build these rosters that look unstoppable and they look super deep, and then all of a sudden you can waste one pick and then it comes back to bite you on the backside. Now, I'm looking at the 2020 draft, you know, and I don't know necessarily where you would have gone there, but your point is still valid. You know, maybe if you know, maybe you trade up a little bit, you know, or maybe you come, you know, you use that aggression, you know. Isaiah Wilson was the offensive tackle that was taken right before the Chiefs, so maybe not that guy, you know. But
they could have had him this offseason anyway.
But, you know, this was a great, super deep offensive line class where even all the way down to 13, you're getting, you know, Tristan Wirfs and, you know, the Cleveland Browns getting Jedrick Wills, you know. You could have gotten involved there if you really, but again, who sees all this stuff coming? I mean, I think this is a difficult stretch where, you know, you're evaluating your roster and you're saying, okay, we're one thing away from the Super Bowl instead of let's start preemptively putting some Band-Aids on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you wonder if the Fisher thing really just caught him so off guard with the injury that they never envisioned themselves in this scenario at this point. The other offensive line move here. This is Monday morning. Kevin Zeitler, who had been released by the Giants as a cap casualty, kind of a bit of a no-brainer. I mean, he was set to make I think it's like 12 or 13 with the Giants. He's out there, but the Ravens scoop him up almost immediately and maybe answer one of their big questions, which was that right guard spot after Marshall Yanda retired after the 2019 season. They just never really figured that out last year, and you know, it wasn't an offense that bottomed out necessarily, but certainly they took a step back last season.
Can we just talk about how great the Ravens front office is? Like, it's ridiculous. They are the modern playing chess while everybody's playing checkers. It's like, okay, Marshall Yanda retires, and then we're just going to walk into Kevin Zeitler, but wait until the Giants release him so it doesn't, you know, affect any of the, you know, comp pick formula and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just brilliant. Like, it's just like, it's brilliant on three tiers, you know? And it's insane to me that they're going to get Kevin Zeitler at a good price, you know, and it's still in a prime athletic year of his career, in an offense that's going to be perfect for him. You know, I love that move. And I think that Baltimore is one of those teams that, okay, you left the cupboard a little bare at wide receiver, and that's the one thing that you can slap them on the wrist for. But, you know, you figure you have a guy like Lamar Jackson who can lift all boats. Now you know exactly how high he can lift all boats. Now you can kind of spread that around. You can get aggressive in free agency, get him one or two pass catchers. And this is a team that I think is, you know, primed for the Super Bowl next year. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, Connor, you bring up the comp pick formula here. That's one thing we saw this offseason, because the cap situation is, you know, a lot of teams are aggressive in scooping up these guys, these veterans who get released, because it doesn't factor into the comp pick formula. We didn't see it this year. We saw J.J. Watt get scooped up, and now we've seen Kevin Zeitler get scooped up. So I say good for the Ravens for making a bit of a calculated risk here as far as that goes, too. And they get their guy. And I mean, look, we've seen a couple of veteran offensive linemen, especially on the interior. Gabe Jackson, Trey Turner is out there. Those guys were sort of late releases here. Obviously, the two Chiefs tackles are out there now. Riley Reiff gets let go. So there's something of a pretty good offensive line class here available in free agency. You're not going to get any superstars, but you are potentially going to land some dudes who can help you. But Zeitler is probably the best of that bunch. And he fills an immediate need. We all love in the media when teams fill needs, but sometimes it's just so obvious. It's just, it fits so nicely that we can't help ourselves.
It's like the first sip of beer on like a summer day after you mow the lawn. Like, that's how good filling a team need is. You're just like, ah, like when the Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor in the draft last year, you're just like, yes, just, exactly what you needed.
Just cross it off.
It was the first position I put on my draft preview of things you needed. Yes, I love the pick. Thumbs up. But that's exactly what it is. But it's going to be, this offseason's going to be weird. We've already seen that borne out. I like the fact that teams who are quote unquote going for it are going to come to the front of the pack and probably end up getting a lot of really good deals on short-term contracts. But the Ravens are one of those teams that, like, it never feels like they have to push too much to the center of the table, because they're always just like, just building. And I guess you could do that when you have a quarterback like as good as Lamar Jackson on the contract that you have him for.
And one more thing before we get into a quick sort of legal tampering period refresher here at the end of the show. The Texans proved that they can make trades if they want to make trades. I think that's the takeaway here. But they made two deals this weekend. One was getting Marcus Cannon from New England. So Nick Caserio brings in a guy he is familiar with, and certainly a guy who in Foxborough they don't have a huge need for after the offensive line performed well. Some of those young guys they have there after Cannon opted out for the 2020 season. But the other one, if you're kind of a football dork, this was interesting to an extent. They moved the linebacker Benardrick McKinney to Miami for Shaq Lawson. I'm not gonna overstate either of these guys here. I've never been a big McKinney fan. I think he's a bit too limited as far as what you can do with him on passing downs, and obviously most downs are passing downs in the NFL at this point. As for Shaq Lawson, I know people will point to sort of upgraded pressure numbers in Miami. I'm not big on it. I think he's a nice complementary player for your defensive line, but I guess if I were building a team, I'd rather have Lawson than McKinney at this point.
Yeah, I think so. The Texans are in this phase of like, look, we got guys, you know, and I think that's really what it is. It's like, and they signed Mark Ingram too, and I think what they're just trying to do is like, see, like, you know, everything's under control here. We learned how to use the phones, you know. People are we're starting to do all their things, you know. I just picture like in Houston, like everybody just standing around like a locked door, you know, like that Far Side cartoon, and they're all trying to pull and it's a push, you know. Mm-hmm. and they've finally figured out how to get inside the building, and now they're slowly but surely beginning to operate like an actual NFL franchise. Good for them. But yeah, no, this is going to be interesting. Not the Texans move that we were all waiting for, which that's got to happen at some point, right? Like you know, at some point you're gonna see some diminishing returns on the trade market if you wait a little bit longer.
I mean, I think logically it has to happen by draft day. The two things that sort of stick out in my mind when it comes to the Watson thing, I mean, look, there's no way he's coming back. If they think they can do so, that is a huge risk. It is their team. They can run it as they see fit. But I don't think there's any scenario where Deshaun Watson happily returns to the Houston Texans and plays for them next year. So then the question becomes, okay, if you wait until after draft, now you don't necessarily have an answer for 2021, unless it's the kind of thing where you've made a deal with Miami that involves Tua or something like that. But making the deal before the draft is the only way you guarantee you get a quarterback coming back. And the other problem with making a deal after the draft is the team you deal him to. And look, this doesn't happen all the time. The Texans can certainly tell you that themselves. The team you deal him to is probably going to be picking late in the first round. So now those picks you get back, you know, maybe you get four first rounders, but if they're all going to be slotted 25 to 32, that's less valuable than getting, you know, a top 5 or 10 pick in 2021 here. But the other thing to keep in mind, if they go in without a quarterback, let's say they do wait until after the draft and they just pick up 5 first rounders from somebody, and now AJ McCarron's going to be their quarterback in 2021 or whoever it might be, they're going to have fans back in the stadium this year. And I just can't imagine what that scene is going to look like when the fans get back into NRG Stadium and sort of get to voice their full-on displeasure. Because they had some fans last year, but certainly not sold-out houses. I mean, the only reason people are going to go to those games is to basically stage these fan protests of what's gone on with that organization.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be so well-earned, and I'm very excited for them difficulties that they're going to endure over the coming months, especially if you sit on Deshaun Watson like they have been. I know we're getting off track here a little bit, but my goodness, the secret is clear here, is to trade him to the Jets, because the Jets are always bad, and then that way, no matter what happens, like Deshaun Watson will be good, and then the Jets will be bad, and you'll get like 5 top 10 picks from them. It'll be awesome, and that's exactly what you do. And then in 10 years, the Texans will be like, well, fans, they'll forgive you, and you'll be winning multiple Super Bowls, and David Culley will be taking his throne from Bill Belichick as the greatest and craftiest head coach in NFL history. But,
84-year-old David Culley winning a 6th Super Bowl title.
I love it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like there. But yeah, no, good for the Texans. I mean, they're doing things. They've discovered... it was like, I hate making Madden analogies, but when you first got the game when you were a kid, like, you didn't really know what to do. You just like played like an exhibition game, and then like you would discover season mode, and then in season mode, like one day you clicked on options and it was like, oh, I can trade players. And I think that's kind of where Houston is right now.
It's Madden circa 2002 if played by Gary Larson, I think, is where we are with the Texans franchise right now.
I like it.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge.
Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so last week we had some developments here on the free agent market, and we'll hit those real quick. Franchise tags were slapped on guys. We know who got them at this point, but it kind of stood out to me, the three guys who didn't get them. Number one, we knew Trent Williams wouldn't get it because that was part of the agreement with the trade to San Francisco that he would not be tagged. So we knew he was going to hit the open market. The 49ers are working frantically to get him signed because he is, I mean, look, I think he's the one absolute elite difference maker on the open market right now. So they're trying to get him signed. It's probably going to take some like $20 million annually to get it done. If he hits the open market, there will be, you know, half the league is going to be bidding on him. The other two guys, though, Shaq Barrett, which we kind of expected because it was going to come down to they were going to have to tag either Barrett or Chris Godwin. The Bucks do tag Chris Godwin, the younger receiver here. The surprise, though, is Kenny Golladay escapes without a franchise tag, so he hits the open market, whereas Godwin and Allen Robinson do not. And, I mean, Golladay is, you know, I've said it quite a few times, it's a really good and deep free agent receiver class. You have a really good and deep draft class coming in. I think a lot of receivers are going to be disappointed with the lack of a sort of big money that they get this offseason, but Golladay is the exception. Golladay, I think, is absolutely a clear-cut number one receiver, and someone is going to pay him like that, and that is a luxury that the other top receivers are not getting.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, great for Golladay. I mean, just awesome. You know, you were going to be stuck in a dying offense and you were going to be essentially like a gate draw for fans, you know, because maybe a couple kids out there had Golladay jerseys and were going to come and see you play. But other than that, I mean, there was no reason for you to be in Detroit. And now this is great. I mean, you could, as bad and as cap strapped as this offseason is going to be, you're going to have a lot of options. You know, you could go to Tampa or you could go to Arizona on a stupid 1-year deal and then catch 75 balls and then hit the market again. You could take advantage of a team like the Jets or the Giants or a team that has cap space. The Jets certainly have a lot more cap space than the Giants and will pay you that premium. You know, I think he's going to get paid on the open market if he wants to. And so he's one of those guys that kind of like eases over that fine line of, you know, these are the guys that are going to get paid and these are the guys that are going to get squeezed due to the situation.
And I will say, I don't want to necessarily call this the right way because I don't know if it's the right way. It certainly did not pull all the levers available to the Lions franchise at this point, but I do appreciate the fact that Brad Holmes, the new GM there. I mean, look, Kenny Galladay's camp might have just sort of, messaged him that, like, look, he doesn't want to be a part of this thing. He doesn't want to be a part of a huge rebuild. He does not fit stylistically with Jared Goff as sort of a contested catch downfield guy. So, let's have a clean break here. Let's not play franchise tag shenanigans where you do the Jaguar style. Well, we're going to hold on to you for 5 months and try and milk a second round pick out of someone. So after all these years of just sort of running it in such a player unfriendly fashion, it's just kind of nice that the Lions are maybe doing right by their players at this point to make up for the last 4 years.
Yeah. It is amazing how much goodwill a franchise can have just by operating with some semblance of a heart and self-awareness. Like when Matt Stafford comes to the owner and is like, this is a horrible place, I want to leave. And the owner's like, I agree. Go ahead. You're right. Sorry. And, I like that. I like that. I like they've kind of recognized that you're going to get a comp. You know, that would be my only complaint, right, is could you have gotten more at some point? And that's the difficulty of, like, if you're the Lions, right, you have a team president. You have a guy who's managing the general manager. And what I don't understand is, it's obviously in the general manager's best interest to hold on to someone like Kenny Galladay at the trade deadline and not move him because he's going to try to win as many games as he can to legitimize his presence there and to hold on to his job. But if you're the team president, you have to get in there and be like, no, get rid of him. Like, he's not coming back. We're not going to be able to afford to pay this guy. And so, get a second round pick, get a first round pick instead of a third round pick, which is what they're going to end up with. But, at the end of the day, could they have gotten more? Yes. But the circumstances by which it all happened almost made it next to impossible.
Yeah. Yep. So Kenny Galladay is going to be a prize for someone out there. And like I said, to me, Shaq Barrett is a difference maker and Trent Williams is a difference maker. And we'll see. Both those guys are sort of tentatively expected to return to their teams, but legal tampering is going on and it's all legal. So we'll see how it plays out. Some of the other developments, we had Aaron Jones returns to Green Bay after sort of a little bit of hand-wringing if you were a Packers fan. We don't have to sit here and talk running back value. That has been discussed quite a bit, but
please don't.
Let me segue into running back value. I do like Aaron Jones for this reason. One, if you're going to let Jamal Williams walk and A.J. Dillon slides into that sort of complimentary role, I think it makes sense to bring Jones back. Jamal Williams is a free agent as well. But the other thing with Jones, and I think this is something that does get overlooked with running backs, and I want to preface this by saying I don't necessarily think Aaron Jones is the only reason the Packers are such an efficient red zone offense, but I think when you have a running back who can score touchdowns, and I know that sounds silly, but I think it's a skill to score touchdowns in the tight red zone. I think Aaron Jones has proven he is very adept at that. And I think the ability to finish drives, and again, look, it's the Packers, it's a well-designed offense, and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. So I don't want to say this is all Aaron Jones, but it has been a sort of tried and true formula here for them in the red zone. And I think it's important for them to keep that going.
Yeah. I'm still unsure why the They didn't use the tag and just kind of do what they were going to do there. I mean, I guess they had gotten indication from maybe from his agent or whatever it was that maybe, hey, the market's not what we thought it was, or hey, the market's better than we thought it was, and here's what we want to do. But he's back. And I think that it's important because as much as Green Bay has been really smart at layering their drafts and kind of lining up these successors at different positions, it's not going to work. Like you still need two or three really good running backs, and now they have two really good running backs, and so I think that you can run that offense exactly the way that you want to run it, and not really have to worry about injuries decimating you at the position.
If you are looking to upgrade at linebacker this offseason, it's just all sorts of bad news. It's not a great draft class coming in, and now the top two potentially available linebackers are not going to hit the market. Levante David re-signs with the Bucs, and Matt Milano re-signs with the Bills. So good news for Jayon Brown, I guess. But it's going to be interesting because I've already stated my love for Jared Davis. Very unwisely, I stated it publicly. But a guy like Eric Wilson out of Minnesota, too, who is, has some warts, a little bit raw, but big-time athlete and a young guy. You wonder if one of those guys is going to get one of those sort of eye-opening contracts where you say, like, wow, didn't see this coming, but someone's making a big investment here because there's just not a whole lot of answers here if you're looking at linebackers.
Yeah, I think for those, I would spotlight teams, right, that have hired a defensive-minded head coach and he has some sway in personnel, or a team that hired, you know, an outspoken defensive coordinator. And you look at that, and some of these high-profile deals in the offseason don't happen without a guy who's, like, kicking in the door of the GM's office and saying that he wants X, Y, and Z. And look at the way that, like, for example, the Jets had operated when Greg Williams was there. And look at how aggressive they were at certain positions in free agency because that's what he needed to run his defense, and he's an outspoken guy. He's not one of those guys that's going to say, nah, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Just get me a couple pieces of this puzzle. But, you know, if one of these guys needs an every down inside linebacker that can run that offense or run that defense and you know, relay the calls and, you know, be a sideline to sideline guy and cover receivers and all that kind of stuff, then maybe one of these guys cashes in, which is great. I mean, you know, especially at that position, you root for somebody to hit it big this offseason.
So this is how it's kind of sizing up here. Not many linebackers, lots of edge guys available here, especially if you're looking for a designated pass rusher type coming into 2021. Lots of those guys are out there. Other than that, you know, you got lots of sort of serviceable veteran offensive linemen, a lot of one-year deals coming out of that class, I think. The tight ends are really interesting to me. The top of that market, it's not very deep, as it usually is not deep, but you got Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Gerald Everett available out there. So, yeah, the tampering is happening, and we're going to see some of these guys land. I'm checking one last time before we wrap up this podcast at 10:17 a.m. Eastern time on a Monday morning, and I think we are fully updated here. So everyone just freeze, and we'll talk again on Thursday or something.
And then a Monday at 10:19, like, you know, bah, 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 bah. You're just like a million bajillion deals. That's how it works. We filmed
another Taysom Hill extension.
How is that possible? We taped last week. We had a great great listener question about Dak Prescott, and it was just like, why the hell isn't Jerry Jones paying this guy? And Jenny and I went off, and we're like, I know, it's ridiculous. And like, you know, for like 20 minutes, and it was a great segment, and then closed it, sent it in, and Dak Prescott signed a record-breaking contract. So, you know, that's it's the nature of the podcast business, Gary.
Should have never given Jerry Jones access to the live feed. That's on
right.
You.
Hey, before we go, though, a special shout out to, because now I can do this on two different podcasts because mm-hmm. I'm getting DMs from people who listen to you and who listen to Jenny. But shout out to Twitter handle baseballgood Thomas Evans 86. for saying, as an avid Orioles fan, I implore you and Gary to continue O's banter on the MMQB. And I said, thanks, Thomas. Like every year, I'm just hoping that they keep it interesting until the All-Star break. And he said, Adley is the key to putting us on the map. He'll keep the fan base entertained once they call him up. And he's predicting a totally unforeseen playoff berth. So, Good for him. Okay. As Gary wears an Indians hat, Cleveland Indians hat.
No. This is a Chicago White Sox. This is the Ivan Calderon, Harold Baines, early 90s White Sox hat.
Oh,
I have no affinity for that team. I always liked the hat, so I saw it. I bought it.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you go. But yeah, so some Orioles talk out there. If they make the playoffs, Thomas, you can come on my podcast and say whatever you want within reason.
Within reason, so, absolutely. Yeah. I shouldn't mention Connor. I was sort of reorganizing my closet, because that's just what you do in the pseudo off season of the NFL when there's nothing else going on in the world. But I have three Orioles jerseys, and none are more recent than Cal Ripken Jr. And they were all bought in like the last 10 years as well. So
wow,
I don't know who.
Now is probably a good buy low market for vintage Orioles gear. So maybe I have to peruse a little bit. Yeah. I have Jim Johnson, which was an interesting purchase.
All right.
I think that was my last one. Oh, I have, and I also have Orioles, an Orioles jersey, number one, and then dad on the back, because, you know, that's what you do when you're a dad. You buy shit like that, you know?
There you go. Logical purchase. I've got, more recent than Ripken, I have a Jay Gibbons jersey, because who doesn't love Jay Gibbons? And also, if there are any Tom Goes to the Mayor fans out there, the old Tim and Eric show, there are some just great Gibbons clips. Gibbons, of course, played by comedian Brian Posehn on that show. And just an all-time classic character where they yell Gibbons a lot. And that really helped the Jay Gibbons jersey market, as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt. Yeah. How could it not?
Oh, this was good. I'm glad we're doing Orioles talk at the end of the show when everyone has frantically hit stop on their on their podcast feed. But Connor, you will be back with Jenny on the Weak Side Podcast on Tuesday, Albert Breer on Wednesday. I mean, just all sorts of news is going to be coming out. So make sure you are subscribing and listening. And maybe we'll talk to you next. It's going to be you or Jenny. There are only two other possible people who could be on the show. So maybe I'll talk to you, Connor.
I like that. Open-ended. Am I going to ruin the listener's day again? Question mark?
It's a mystery. Cliffhanger.
Nice.
The MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast is Connor Orr and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB. Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed as well as the feeds for the Weekside Podcast and the Albert Breer Show. They're all for free on Apple Podcasts. And once you do subscribe, please leave a rating and review for all of them. It really does help other people find the shows, which are also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, Every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.